more abundant. I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. How many are ready to live the abundant life? Like, I don't want to just be a weary pilgrim passing through. Amen. I want to go through life having a hoot and holler and having the best that God has for me right here and right now before I get to the great by and by. Amen. And I believe a lot of times we've lived in a mindset that said, well, we're just weary pilgrims passing through, but when we get to heaven, this is going to be. How many know we can have heaven right here on earth? Jesus said, when you pray, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, what, in earth as it is in heaven. Not just in this earth, but in this earth. Hallelujah. So our prayer should be, Lord, let your kingdom come and your will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. How many, I believe heaven can just be a continuation of the heaven that we know right here and right now. How many want to experience a little bit of heaven on earth? Hallelujah. So I believe that he said that I come that you can have life and that you can have it more abundantly. How many know the scripture says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy? Hallelujah. How many know that's the mentality or mindset of the thief, is to come to steal from you, kill, or destroy? He said, but I came. Everybody say, I came. But I came that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. How many know the thief has no business in your life? How many know the thief has no business in your mind? The thief has no business in your heart. The thief has no business in your finance. The thief has no business in your marriage. The thief has no business in your children. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah, because he comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus said, but I came, and I came that you might have life. Hallelujah, that life can swallow up death. How many are thankful that the life of Christ inside of you swallows up the death that's around you? And we can look at situations sometimes, and it can look like dry, and it can look like death, and it could look discouraging, and it could look like despair. But how many know we have life inside of us? Power of life and death is in your tongue. It's in your mouth. Hallelujah. But how many know before it ever comes out of your mouth, it has to be in your heart and in your mind? Hallelujah. And so what we do sometimes is we confess things out of our mouth that are not true of us. This is the worst day ever. No, it's not. This job is going to kill me. No, it's not. When I went to bed last night, I died. No, you didn't. Really? Right? I mean, we say things out of our mouth and we confess things that really are not true of us. Now, did it make me die? No, it did not. But how many know sometimes we have to be conscious of what we say and what we speak into situations that I believe that we're accountable for our words. And what I mean by that, the scripture says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord my God and my Redeemer. And I try to live by that scripture. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be in agreement and being acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, my strength and my Redeemer. Let me be a vessel that speaks life, that speaks hope, that speaks deliverance. I saw somebody had a post the other day that said, I'm a hope dealer. How many know we need more hope dealers? Amen. We need more hope dealers, because how many know people don't have hope? People are hopeless. They're without hope. They think their situations are hopeless. They think their marriages are hopeless. They think their kids are hopeless. They think the world is hopeless. They think politics is hopeless. Aren't you glad that we believe in a higher power? Yeah. Hallelujah. That I believe in the power of the Almighty God, that it's all in His hands. And I have hope for my future. Hallelujah. And I want to declare the words of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. But I also want to be able to come into that valley at times. And then when we talked about this a couple weeks ago, that when the Spirit of the Lord spoke to Ezekiel and he said he brought him to the valley of the dry bones. And he said to him, "Son of man, can they live?" And he said, "Lord, you know, I don't even know. Can they live?" And he said, "Well, then you begin to prophesy." And he said, "What do you see?" So he describes the valley, and he said it was a valley full of dry and death, and it was very dry. And he said, "You begin to prophesy. Prophesy to the wind to blow upon this valley. Begin to prophesy to dry bones. Hear ye the word of the Lord." And he said, "Lo and behold, in the middle of that valley, there was an exceeding great army that began to stand up." Like, who knew, right? Sometimes we look at a situation and we see death and we see dryness and we see despair. But who knew that right in the midst of that, there's an exceeding great army that can stand up. But somebody's got to stand up and begin to prophesy something other than what we've been hearing and say, "Hear the word of the old dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." And say, when the word of the Lord started to come to pass and started to begin to be spoken, how many know it said then bones started to come together, sinews started to come together, skin started to come together, and all of a sudden they began to stand up on their feet, what? An exceeding great army. Hallelujah. Sometimes we miss the exceeding great army because our focus is in the wrong place. Our perspective is in the wrong place. You got people in a dry valley today, start speaking the word of the Lord over them. Start declaring the word of the Lord over them. I was in a situation, I was going to work the other day, and I had a preaching tape in, and she was preaching, and she said something that struck a chord to me, and I turned off my CD player, and I started playing in the Holy Ghost. And I said, "Lord, this situation is in your hands. And I rebuke every spirit of that would come against it. I rebuke the spirit of addiction. I rebuke the spirit of death. I rebuke the spirit that would try to come against this situation in Jesus' name. And I stand up and declare that they will live and not die. And I'm just going to preach the Holy Ghost over it." And I said, "Lord, I trust you with it. I put it in your hands. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to leave it there. And I'm just going to stand back and watch you do the miraculous." Hallelujah. And then I pushed my CD and I listened to it the rest of the way to work. But how many know sometimes when God begins to speak to you, you have to just stand up and start prophesying over some things. You know, I love that Robin told us the other week, she said, sitting in the restaurant, she said, "I prophesied over Duke several weeks ago." And I said, that prophecy is just as powerful. God spoke to you. God gave you preparation. And she began to speak over him and speak hope and speak life into him. Hallelujah. And how many know the situation didn't look like it lined up with what she was declaring. But she said, "You know what? God came back to me and said, everything that I said, he is well. He's not hurting. He's walking. His limbs are intact. God has restored him in a different way. But he's been restored. And the life of God has come. And God has give me peace even in that situation." Hallelujah. But how many know sometimes she could stand on that because she spoke it out. She didn't just think it. She didn't just wonder if God would say this. She began to speak it out and declare it. Hallelujah. And God was able to bring that back to her remembrance and back to her memory and use that to encourage her to have strength in what God had spoke over her and over her household. Hallelujah. I want to go to Luke chapter 7 and start at verse 11 today. It's a scripture that we probably don't hear a whole lot about. And it's the only time in the Bible that this particular town is mentioned. It was a very small town. It doesn't really have any real significance to it. You have to kind of go there on purpose to get there. Kind of like Berkeley Springs. You mostly don't happen to just pass through there. You're trying to get here if you come here. You know, it's just a small town. But just a thought that I had on this scripture. So we're going to jump in on Luke 7, 11 through 17, and I'm going to do it out of the Message Bible if I can this morning. You can look it up in whatever translation you have. But it said, "Not long after that, Jesus went to the village of Nain. His disciples were with him, along with quite a large crowd. As they approached the village gate, they met a funeral procession. A woman's only son was being carried out for burial, and the mother was a widow. When Jesus saw her, his heart was broke. He said to her, "Don't cry." Then he went over and touched the coffin. The pallbearers stopped. He said, "Young man, I tell you, get up." The dead son sat up and began talking. Jesus presented him to his mother. They all realized they were in a place of holy mystery, that God was at work among them. They were quietly worshipful and then noisily grateful, calling out among themselves, "God is back," looking to the needs of his people. The news of Jesus spread all through the country. Now, the scripture tells us that there is a widow in Nain, and she has lost her only son. And you know that in the Bible times, that most of the time, that if you did not have a son, that your inheritance was marred. Or most of the time, the oldest son was to care for the widowed mother. And so, if a widow was to lose her only son, she had no provision. She had no inheritance. She had no substance to take care of her. So not only is she grieving because she has lost her son, but she is grieving because her future is insecure. Her future is at risk now, and she doesn't know where she goes from here. Amen? Sounds like a pretty hopeless situation, doesn't it? As if mourning and death was not enough, she also is not sure of what the future holds for this little lady of Nain. And what would normally happen in a Jewish custom is they would line the streets and they would chant. And in this situation, they say that when you would have a funeral, that when people would see the body pass through, that everyone would stop and follow the procession, or they would stop and line the streets. And as you would pass through with procession, because the body wasn't held very long because of the decay, that they would line the streets and they would chant, "God comfort you among all the mourners of Zion and Jerusalem." And that's what they would chant as they would walk through in mourning. Now, it was also very common in this time to hire mourners. If you go back and look at the burial customs of the Old Testament and somewhat of the New Testament, that a lot of times when someone would die, they would hire mourners. They would hire minstrels to come. They would hire flute players. And they would hire eulogizers to come. And they would professionally, and they would help you mourn. Most of the time they were women, because I guess women are better criers than men are. Yeah. And so they would bring mourners in, and they would hire professional mourners. Now, the more money you had, the more professional mourners you could hire. The poorer you were, the less mourning you got at your funeral. So anyway, they would hire these professional mourners, and it was a duty and an obligation to mourn at least usually about 7 days, if not longer than that. And a lot of times you've seen in the Old Testament, they would put on sackcloth and ashes, and they would afflict themselves, and they would, you know, they would be in mourning, and they would wear all black, and they would have a certain outfit they would put on, and that would show everybody that they were in mourning. You knew when you walked up to them that they were in mourning. But what I love about this scripture is death ran into life that day. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that death ran into life that day? And when death encounters life, how many know death has to back up? Yes. Somebody say back up. Yes. Hallelujah. And I love this scripture because how many know God is not passive? God is a good God. God is a God of love. Jason taught the other Wednesday night here, and he talked about the scripture, 1 Corinthians 13, and he talked about love is patient, love is kind. But he said, if God is love, then what you need to do is replace the word love there with God. God is patient. God is kind. God is long-suffering. He's not easily angered. Hallelujah. How many know he's a good God? We serve a good, good Father. The scripture says, I came that you might have life. How many know when death encounters life, death's got to back up? Yes. Hallelujah. How many have ever encountered death in your life? And I'm not just talking about death when we pass from this life to the next. How many know there's a lot of things in our life that looks like death all around us? Hallelujah. Ever had death all around you and you just don't see where any life's going to come out of this situation? Hallelujah. And what you may have already done is gone ahead and engaged some professional mourners to step up with you. And what happens is we get in a pity party and we get in a situation where we go ahead and hire some mourners to weep with us, when what we need to do is get in the procession where life is coming in. Because when life comes in and he sees this little woman, he does not join the chant of the Jewish custom and wish them all the best. He just stops and says, "My dear lady, please don't cry." And he takes a hold of the hand of that young man and says, "Young man, I say, get up." Hallelujah. How many know it's about time that we begin to speak life into some situations that look like death? And it might be sons or it might be daughters, but what we need to do is declare over them, "Son, get up. Daughter, get up. Sit up. Stand up. You have just run into life and death has gone to back up." Hallelujah. How many know God is not passive? He's active. Hallelujah. Chronicles of Narnia says he is a good lion. He's not a tame lion, but he's a good lion. How many know the lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed? He's not a tame lion, but he's a good lion. Hallelujah. And how many know when Jesus comes along and he meets the procession, he does not join in with the conversation that's happening. He doesn't join in with the party. He doesn't take sides with professional mourners. He doesn't allow himself to be caught up in the mourning of the day, because something inside of him is too much alive to give death any place. Hallelujah. How many know we've got to have the life of God inside of us be too much alive to allow death to have any place in any area of our life? Amen. Hallelujah. And begin to speak some life over some situations. I love the fact that Jesus bankrupts death. Hallelujah. That death has to back up. How many know when Jesus is crucified and goes into the grave, the scripture says he goes into hell and sets captivity captive. How many know he bankrupted hell 2,000 years ago? Hallelujah. That death, he said, "Oh grave, where is thy victory? Oh death, where is thy sting?" Because I believe even those who can die in the natural in this life don't have to die with the sting of death or with the victory of death. Amen. I believe those who die that sleep in the Lord still have victory. Hallelujah. Amen.
That's got to be amazing. The doctors and nurses and everybody that already said she was dead. But she said she heard the cry of that baby. And you know, sometimes if we can just hear the cry, just hear the cry. Yes. And God says, you know, you don't have to cry. Woman, don't cry. He's talking to the church. He's not just talking to that one specific woman. But he's saying to the church, "Woman, don't cry. Son, get up and live."
Yes. Hallelujah.
And I think when we just listen to the voice of God and hear what God's saying, I believe we'll hear something that, and begin to see some things that we thought was dead. But they're not dead. They're still alive.
Amen. Amen. That's good stuff. Hallelujah. It's time for the woman, who is the church, to begin to hear the cry. And to dry the tears, hallelujah, but begin to tell the son, "Stand up and live." Hallelujah. Life replaced with death. Hallelujah. Those things that we've been looking for, hallelujah, to come to life. It said they hired mourners, and everyone was expected to stop and join the funeral. They hired eulogizers and flutes. The more money you had, the more mourners you have. Hallelujah. That's probably still true today. The more money you have, the more people you got speaking, "Whoa, whoa, whoa." Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes you got to give notice to the mourners. You got to give notice to the voice of woe that you've been replaced with worship. Hallelujah. He was her only provision. She had no son, which meant no inheritance. And I love, you know, when Jesus is hanging on the cross, he looks down and looks at John. How many know Jesus was the eldest son of his mother who's about to be crucified? He looks at John and said, John, whatever you do, take care of my mother. Yes. Hallelujah. Take care of my mother. If your situations look dead around you, fire the mourners and hire some praisers. I mean, sometimes you got to put a praise on it. Hallelujah. And it's about time that we hire some praisers in our life. And by hire, I don't really mean hire, because you can get them for free. If they're real worshipers, if they're real praisers, you won't have to hire them. They'll be available at your beck and call. Hallelujah. But how many know we sometimes got to fire the negative voices in our life and the mourners and the professional mourners who are mourning over a situation and hire some praisers and some worshipers? Because what happened when Jesus began to speak life into this young man, it said they were silently worshipful, and then they were ecstatic that what God had done. How many know sometimes it might catch you off guard a little bit? You might have to stand back and say, whoa, that was God. Whoa, that was God. Hallelujah. In a blink of an eye, in a moment when situations could have been different, we had to stand back and say, whoa, that was God. And it might seem silent for a moment, but after that, how many know your feet get to dancing and your heart starts to rejoicing because you realize the goodness of God in the land of the living, and all of a sudden that God has said to death, back up, back up, back up. Son, stand up and live. Hallelujah. So sometimes we gotta fire the mourners. We got to fire the voice of despair. We got to fire the voice of woe. We got to fire the voice of negativity. And we got to fire the voice of pessimism. Amen? How many know sometimes you run into people and never is there a confession of anything good that comes out of their mouth? That should not be with the saints of God. There should always be a song of praise. There should always be something to rejoice about in our heart and in our life. Because I'm going to tell you, if you'll praise him, you'll raise him. And I'm not talking about getting him out of the grave. I'm talking if you'll praise him, you'll raise him up out of here. And all of a sudden, you'll start to hear his voice over any other voice. And the negativity's got to go. Hallelujah. The professional mourner's got to go. The flute's got to close up and pack up and go home. Somebody else might need them, but now this party is just getting started. Because there ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party. Because the Holy Ghost party don't stop. Hallelujah. How many know Jesus is a game changer? Jesus is a game changer. So that when life encounters death, how many know death must back up? Hallelujah. And even when we encounter death in the natural, I mean, you know, sometimes death happens. We've all experienced somebody in our life in the natural that have experienced death. But how many can know what a difference it is to celebrate the homegoing of somebody who've lived a life in Jesus that said, when I pass from this body, I'm just passing from death unto life. Hallelujah. And that no more sorrow, no more pain. There is no sting in death, I believe, when you pass into glory in the life that we know in Jesus. I believe we just pass from this earthly veil, hallelujah, to the presence of God. Hallelujah. And so sometimes you just got to put a praise on it. There's a song, you got to put a praise on it. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes you just got to choose? The song we sang this morning, I say this all the time, I choose to rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad. You make a declaration over yourself and over your life when you sing that. Hallelujah, that there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, and I will rejoice and I will be glad. Hallelujah. God is not passive. He's a good lion, but he's not a tame lion. I love that the scripture says, and when Jesus saw her, it says he had compassion on her. Compassion comes from a lot of different words, but to break it down, it basically means a heart where mercy resides. Jesus had a heart where mercy resides. Aren't you thankful that he had a heart toward you, that he had compassion toward you? Hallelujah. That he had a heart where mercy resides. But even beyond that, it says, mercy is kindness or goodwill towards the miserable and the afflicted, but joined with a desire to help them. It is not passive, it is active. Hallelujah. How many know when you have compassion on somebody, it's not just a heart to see that you're struggling, but it's a heart to say, you're struggling, but how can I help? How can I minister? How can I touch? How can I help ease your burden? How can I help with your pain? What can I do for you? Hallelujah. A heart of compassion. How many know as saints of God, we should be moved with compassion? Hallelujah. That when we see a need, when we see a need or have an opportunity to give or whatever it is, that we take that as a challenge and say, Lord, that's just good ground for me to sow some seed into. That's an opportunity for me to show the goodness of the Lord. That's a place for me to just show some kindness, show some compassion, show some mercy, show the goodness of the Lord, show some love. Hallelujah. To show some love, compassion. He said he was moved with compassion toward her. So compassion is means a heart where mercy resides. Mercy is kindness or goodwill towards the miserable and the afflicted, joined with a desire to help them. It's not passive, it's active. Aren't you glad that God is not passive today? God is an active God. He's a willing God. How many know that he is moved with compassion towards us? Hallelujah. That is, if we can be moved with compassion, if we can be moved with a heart of mercy, how much more can the heart of God be moved with compassion towards his saints, towards his people? Hallelujah. Now, the scripture says he went over and touched the buyer. He touched the vehicle that they were carrying this young man on. And under a Jewish custom, he would not be allowed to touch a dead body. Because if you touched a dead body, you would be unclean for at least a period of 7 days. Hallelujah. How many know he did not join in with tradition? He did not go along with the status quo. He did not go along with normal things. It didn't matter to him whether you thought him unclean or not. And let me tell you, this little widow of Nain didn't care what formula he used, didn't care if he touched him or didn't touch him, didn't care if he spoke over him, sent a word, anointed him, whatever it is he did. But when Jesus spoke to her, he spoke life. Hallelujah. And he was not concerned about death contaminating him, but that life would contaminate death. Hallelujah. That when life comes into a situation, death's got to back up. Hallelujah. I believe there's sometimes in our lives that we've got to look at some situations and said, you just back up. Hallelujah. Autoimmune disorders, you got to back up. Bowel disorders, you got to back up. Heart disease, you got to back up. Hallelujah. Kidney failure, you got to back up. Addictions, you got to back up. Struggles, poverty, finances, back up. Hallelujah. Sometimes I think we need to be more active and less passive about situations and say that might be the fact, but that's not the truth. Hallelujah. That might be the fact. It might look like how the situation, hallelujah, is going to turn out, but God. Hallelujah. How many can say God's a game changer? How many can say God's a game changer in your life? Hallelujah. That when he stepped into the situation, I was encouraged. I talked to Sean a little bit this morning. His granddad has been sick and has had a lot of trouble with his heart, but he was able to get up and eat Thanksgiving dinner with his family on Thanksgiving Day and get around on a walker of a man who they didn't think was going to get out of bed. God needs some glory over that. Hallelujah. Heart disease, you got to back up. Weakness, you got to back up. Death, you got to back up. Hallelujah. If God only gives him another month, if he gives him another year, if he gives him another 10 years. Hallelujah. He got up and ate Thanksgiving dinner. Thank you, Jesus, that weakness had to back up. Thank you that heart disease didn't get to call the shots on Thanksgiving Day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's a game changer. He's a game changer. Hallelujah. And I believe God can give us wisdom in our life. I believe he can give us directions, even in our healings. I believe some healings are miraculous, instantaneous. Sometimes I think God can teach us things in our life to cause us to have fulfilled life, to live our life to the fullest, hallelujah, and cause us to make good choices in our life, which brings a greater abundance of life to us. Amen. Hallelujah. I pray, God, give us wisdom. God, give us guidance. Give us understanding. Hallelujah. Of this amazing body that you've created in us, Lord. Help us to be good stewards of that body. Help us to be able to respect the temple of God, Lord, and to cause that temple to be vigorous and full of life and powerful. Hallelujah. How many in here want to be powerful? 4, 5, 6 of us want to be. Hallelujah. I think there's more hands on this side. I'm going to preach to this side a little bit. Then. Hallelujah. You know, when we say that powerful, we think, what does that mean? Well, I mean, what I mean by that is, how many more of you want to start living out the power inside of us instead of the forces outside of us? Hallelujah. I want the goodness of God to dictate my life from the inside out, not from the outside in. But so many times we live from the outside in. Hallelujah. So that when we see situations, instead of changing, being a game changer, and instead of changing circumstances, we join in the party and we allow it and we accept it. What God wants us to do is step into it and say, wait a minute. Life is inside of me. Death, you got to back up. Hallelujah. Anything that's contrary to what His will is in my life, you got to back up. Hallelujah. And not being passive about things and saying, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to mark this day as a memorial. I've been starting to say that later. You know what? I'm going to make this day as a memorial. I'm going to write it in the margins of my Bible, Aaron, and I'm not going to forget, because when I go back in a month or a year and God has accomplished what I've asked Him to do, then I've got a memorial in my Bible that says, wait a minute, if you've been praying for something in job changes, here, let me show you the scripture and verse God gave me, and let me show you the day God worked it out and God made it available to me. If God has moved in your life and God has done something, Brother Sam, write it down as a memorial, because God touched his back, his thighs, and his hip region, and he feels awesome today. Thank God for the healing and the goodness of God. We need to write them down, make a memorial, so that when somebody comes along and says, man, my back is hurting, wait a minute, death, you got to back up. Back trouble, you got to back up. Heart disease, you got to back up. Hallelujah. Because I got the day and the time, I got a memorial, I got a moment to look back to and say, that's the goodness of God in my life. Hallelujah. Dwells the mortal body. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. When she said, when she had her colon taken out, God gave her the scripture that said, if that same spirit, and the translation of that really says, not if, but since, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, what, dwells in you, it will quicken and make alive your, what, mortal body. Hallelujah. It's a quickening spirit. It's a making alive. That word quickening, they said that the word quickening comes from that first feeling when a baby starts to kick in a mother's womb. It's the sign that there's life inside of you. Hallelujah. And when God gives you a scripture, hang on to it. Amen. Take it to the bank. Cash it in. It's yours. Hallelujah. And I love the verse, you know, the scriptures, and I love the testimonies like that, because it's faith builders. Those are faith builders. That's why I love beginning the service this morning with testimonies, because I love to know what God's already been doing, what God's already been active in our life. We've been praying for some things. We've been interceding for some things, and God has brought some miracles in our midst. We need to give Him thanks. We need to give Him praise for that. Hallelujah. Amen. Many times in our life, you know, what happens is we pray and ask God to take that headache away, and then 3 days later we realize, you know, we forget about it, and We forget to go back and say, well, thank you, Lord, you healed my headache. Yeah. You know, you thank you, God, that you got me through that situation, you know, and that you moved on our behalf. And but our praise, it goes back to the scripture that I said, in everything, give thanks. Amen. Hallelujah. So even in the midst of that, Jim, God still has brought you to where you are. And now you look back and see the goodness and you see what God has done. But we don't always see it when we're right in the midst of it. And there's been some times that I think, oh, my goodness, Lord, what are you doing? Or what are you not doing? You know, we think sometimes that God's not at work when we deal with crisis. But how many know he's just as real and alive in our life, whether we're going through crisis or whether we're not? He's just stronger or more evident in our life if we'll allow him to rise up and Jesus take the wheel, right? Yes. Hallelujah. And to be that strong presence in our life and be alive. Hallelujah. But Jesus said he walked up to this woman. And I love how Pastor Shirley said it, the church, and said, don't cry, woman. Don't weep, because the sons are about to come alive. Hallelujah. The sons are about to come alive. And I believe we need to prophesy that over our churches and over our lands. Hallelujah. Because how many know there is a need for our sons to rise up, to stand up, and to come alive, and the understanding of who they are in Jesus. Hallelujah, and experience life and not death.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so I prophesy over this church, weep not. Hallelujah. And I prophesy over the sons of this house to stand up, to come alive. Hallelujah. And who God has called you to be. I call in the sons who aren't here. I call in those who are called to be here. I call in those who've not yet come but need to come. Hallelujah. I pray over your sons in this house. I pray over your daughters in this house in Jesus' name. If you need God to cause life to come to your children, raise your hand right now in the natural. If you need God to bring life to your children right now in the natural, hallelujah. Lord, we pray over the sons and daughters of this house in Jesus' name, and we prophesy come alive. We prophesy to dry bones. We prophesy to death. We prophesy to situations that look like they're hopeless and say, death, you got to back up. Everything that would cause, rob them of their life in Jesus, we say to the sons of God, stand up, rise up, and be healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Lord, we just declare that your goodness is going to begin to fill the lives and hearts. Father, we send out the Holy Ghost right now. Hallelujah. We send Holy Ghost to houses, to bedrooms, Lord, to jobs, to facilities, wherever they might be right now, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We send the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And we mark this day, Father, as a memorial of the goodness of turning points. Hallelujah. We're going to call this the turnaround in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The turnaround in Jesus' name. Stand to your feet with me this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.